Hi, this is Nick, and in just a moment, I'm going to be joined by Christian Stanfill, longtime singer, songwriter from Passion. Very excited about their brand new album out now, and what an opportunity to hear and see 55,000 people between 18 and 25 singing, praising his name at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. Can't wait to hear about this new album and find out what it was like writing some of these songs together. Part of that 2024 Passion Night in Mercedes-Benz Stadium include Crowder, Brooke Lidgertwood, husband and wife team Carrie Jobe and Cody Carnes, Melody Malone and Brent Yonker, and of course, Christian Stanfill.
Hey, this is Christian Stanfill, and you're listening to Bandkind on the Air.
Hi, I'm Nick at Bandkind, and I am here with Christian Stanfill. So excited to see you, Christian.
Nick, it's great to be with you. I love this. Wow. I don't know if people can see where you are, but I'm just looking behind you and I see so many records that changed my life and impacted my life. Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
Okay, tell me which one.
What a cool world you get to live in. Well, okay. So first of all, DC Talk, Jesus Freak, obviously insane album. Love that. Sonic Flood. I see Sonic Flood back there. Yeah, and I can't read some of the other. Is that Rebecca St. James?
It is.
No, yes, I loved. So I was shaped musically by a lot of those people on your wall. It's very cool.
Oh, so yeah. I worked Rebecca St. James' first American record.
Wow,
that was so special.
Yeah,
and I'm very excited about their film coming out. It was very personal to me. So. And DC Talk, I was actually working at a radio station in Nashville, Tennessee, when I got a phone call and somebody said, we are rebranding this band and we need a radio person to come alongside us. You be interested? And I was like, who's the band? Yeah. And they were like, it's DC Talk. And I was like, wow, that's going to be tough. But so Toby and I worked at the mixing board and we made some radio singles out of that Jesus Freak album.
Oh my gosh.
Really, really powerful time, and was so grateful still for, how that has changed the industry. And it was, such a gift to be able to stand right there and go, no, let's bring those down. Okay, let's bring this up. Yes.
Yeah. I like that. Mix engineer. I love that.
Sonic Flood, when we first started that record, we were asking ourselves in the office, have we missed the worship movement? Is it too late? And obviously.
Yeah. No. Well, yeah. I mean, it's been going since before time began. So we're all finding our way into it as we go, for sure. But we're sensing a real spirit of worship in the church, like I've never seen before. Not just at Passion City Church, but all over the place, and a real hunger for God. We saw that at Passion Conference. Firsthand. Yeah. So something really cool is happening on the earth right now. It's just what a time to be alive and be a part of it.
I want to talk about the live record, but can we talk about what happened before the live record? Mm-hmm. Like, how are you curating the songs for these 55,000 people filling the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta? How are you finding these songs that you want to share? And I mean, are you saying, is this going to connect? And are you doing that in conjunction with the other artists or Passion City Church? How's that all coming together?
Yeah. And I love that you're asking about that, because this year, maybe more than any other year, we felt that the preparation and the prayer and the planning that went ahead of Passion 2024, it had a different weight to it. We had a sense, obviously there's no way to know the future. We didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but we just had a sense that God wanted us to be ready and prepared for what he was going to do in Atlanta at Passion 2024. And all of us, you know, Louis and Shelley led us this way all last year. It wasn't just, you know, the month before Passion. It was like,
of course,
the whole year leading up to conference, Louis and Shelley really led us to seek God, to prepare very seriously and solemnly, and just really consecrate ourselves for the work that God wanted us to do. And so that was happening. And then in the midst of all that, we're writing songs, and you never really know how songs are going to be used or where they're going to go, how they're going to connect. But what we do know after years of doing this is that God always gives us what we need. Mm-hmm. And so we show up to the process of writing songs and preparing and planning, and we've learned to trust God will give the right confession. He will give the right lyric. He will give the right melody. And so we just keep writing. And then as October and November start, you know, rolling, we really start to narrow and go, okay, there's definitely a thread here. God has definitely given us a group of songs that makes sense as a cohesive, you know, whole. And so then we do the best we can with our extremely talented team here at Six Steps and Capital CMG, and then just praying. And we do a lot of rehearsing. And so there are some songs we think, oh, this is going to be a slam dunk. We are like so pumped on the song. And then we get into rehearsal and start rehearsing and go, actually, this isn't really coming together like we thought it would. And in comes another song that maybe we had overlooked. And that's just how God works in the process. So we've learned to be open-handed, to trust God, to trust each other, and ultimately the right songs come to the surface.
Yeah, that's a powerful mantle. Mm-hmm. And I feel like these 18 to 27, 28-year-olds are picking up that mantle. Did you find that when you were recording the live event?
Yes. Yes. We did sense that there was a hunger for God in this stadium. Again, maybe like we've never seen before. You know, it's a generation that wants to build their lives on something real, something that's not going to shake and crumble underneath their feet. I think you look around right now at the times we're living in, and you just see deception on a mass level. Mm. And this generation is being sold a bad bill of goods. And it's like, man, there's a lot of like relative truth out there. And man, they came into Mercedes-Benz Stadium going, we need something that is authentic, that is real, someone who is who they say they are, someone who can do what they say they can do, someone who's going to be for me what they say they are. And Jesus is that. Amen. At every turn. And Amen. So, man, every speaker, every worship leader just kept raising that flag. It says Jesus is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. And these students just came and said, man, we are going to leverage everything. We're going to give everything, all of it. Here it is right here on the table. And so, yeah, we're definitely sensing that kind of hunger in this generation.
The live album is out now, available wherever you find music, Call on Heaven. And what was it like for you to listen to the project? And it goes deep. And let's talk about some of the tracks that are on there, 14 tracks deep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think, 95 minutes of music, which, you know, there are not a lot of albums coming out that are 95 minutes, you know, these days, but there's not a minute or a second wasted on the project. It just felt like, man, if we were going to put out a Live from Passion 2024 collection of songs, everything that's on this record has to be on it, because these were the moments that God came near and did something significant in our lives. And it's the last two tracks alone, Holy Forever and Agnus Dei, are 30 minutes long. That's just the last two tracks. And that can sound like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know if I can get into it. I'm telling you, there is the power and the presence and the Spirit of God coming off of these recordings just in waves. And that, I don't say that to go like, oh, it's Pat. It's what a miracle that God could put himself on this recording and send it all over the place. And now people are listening to it and they're encountering the living God, the presence of the living God. What a miracle, what a gift. And so, Amen. What was it like to listen to it? I mean, I'm perfectly, like, completely honest with you, Nick. There are still moments on this project that make me weep, that bring tears to my eyes, because I remember what was going on. I remember what God was doing. And I remember being in these moments and going, God is doing this. This is not man-made. This isn't something that we conjured up in a program meeting. This is the one true God coming into the room and saying, if you will have open hands, I will do something through these songs, through these moments, through this talk that will blow your minds. And we got to be present for it. And now we can listen back to it on this record. It's very exciting. Very happy it's out.
Tell me the story about the final track.
Agnus Dei, which is a song that Michael W. Smith wrote, I think 30 plus years ago in his basement, is still making its way around the world and just cracking open revival everywhere it goes, it seems like. And it was the very last day of the conference, last session, and we were leading. We had about, 25, 30 minute block of time to lead. And we got about halfway through the set, and I just really sensed God saying, slow down, wait, take a breath, open your eyes, look around. I want to do something different, shift the flow a little bit. And I mean, I know where it came from. I know it came from Holy Spirit, but that song, Agnus Dei, just dropped down. And I got into the microphone and said, hey guys, let's just hold on here. And we started to sing Agnus Dei. And pretty soon into the first verse, first chorus of that song, we knew we were standing on holy ground, that God was doing something in our midst. And I think we just all, I mean, you can see it, just hit the deck. We tried to get as low as we could, because we knew the holiness of God was coming near, the weight of his glory was coming down, and all of us just wanted to get out of the way. We just didn't want to get in the way of any of that. So for nearly 10, 12 minutes, the students just sang. We didn't sing anything. Our mics were on the ground. We were just prostrate before God, just weeping, just because of the beauty of his holiness and the weight of his glory. It was like, man, I've never encountered anything like this in all my years of leading worship. It was just a leveling, like a devastation of his holiness. And the students just took over and started singing, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. And that's heaven's song. And anytime earth can mimic heaven and mirror heaven like that, oh man, something shifts massively. And man, we just felt that was a moment we felt so in alignment with heaven in that moment, as close as I've ever felt on earth. And and so then afterwards we're like, wow, that was, praise God, like just so grateful for. And then we start thinking, well, does it go on the project? Like, do we put all 20 minutes of this thing on the live record? And we kept trying to, like, maybe we shouldn't add it at all, or maybe we should edit it down. And then it came down to the final hour and we were like, we need to put all 20 minutes of this thing out there, because this is what God did. Every minute of it is powerful. And now you can go hear it. And I get text messages, I get DMs from people, I get emails saying, I just listened to Agnus Dei in my kitchen, all 20 minutes of it. And I just hit the ground, I hit the knees, just worshiping God. And so, but just what a cool thing.
Such a cool thing.
Yeah.
I remember a quote from Matt Maher right now that he said, hey, if you'd like to edit the Holy Spirit out of the song to make it a good radio song, go for it. So
that's good. I love Matt. That's so good. It's so good.
That's amazing. Yeah. I'm so glad that you put it on the record. I'm glad that there was enough time on the whole thing to, have it.
I know.
Very
Me
special.
too. Me
Very
too.
special.
Yeah. Really, really grateful that we have a team that doesn't want to edit that out. They're like, let's just leave it. Louis and Shelley, namely, are just like, let's just leave it. It is what it
Amen.
is.
Amen. I just saw Grave Robber live. Wow. For that to be on this project, you know, just brings this sort of aggressive praise. Can I say that?
Yes, you can. Yes, you
to
can.
It. And so I love that. What was it like working with Brooke Lidgetwood?
Man, Brooke is just a great friend, a powerhouse worship leader and songwriter, obviously. And just a proclaimer of the truth.
Amen.
We love her. We love her and Scotty so much. The cool thing about Passion is it really does feel like we have this family of people, you know, and Carrie and Cody, with Passion, with Sean, with Crowder. I'm gonna leave some people out here.
Right.
With Brooke. But and so many other people too. But you know, Phil and Brandon were there. But it just really does feel like a family of people who are all committed to the same thing. And we're just all committed to, we just want God to get so much glory. We want him to be praised. We want him to be exalted.
Amen.
And I really can say, just after being up close to these guys and these girls for many years, there's as much as ego can take a back seat, it does, and it has. I mean, it really is amazing to watch everyone cheer for each other, pray for each other, write songs together, and come together, and we eat meals together, we laugh together, we cry together, and it really does feel like we're all just going, man, if after all this is over, Jesus has gotten a lot of glory, we are really, really happy about that.
Amen.
So it's a really great group of people to be associated with. Really grateful.
So good. I was thinking on that scripture that talks about God preparing a table in the midst of our enemies, you know, and I think about how many times over, like you just said, eating together, that defenses fall and new unions and new perspectives are brought in over food. It's such an interesting thing. And I was just
so true.
I was just kind of living in this piece from Last Supper on the Moon from Levi Lasco.
Oh yeah, from Levi, yeah.
Yeah, and I just read that really quick. It's a quick mention in that 440 pages about Jesus making fish for the disciples. And I just was kind of living in that and saying, Lord, how do you still make breakfast for sinners? You know, and that's the thing he says, come eat, you know, come eat, let's talk.
That's beautiful.
So special.
I love that. Yeah, I love meals together because it takes time to eat a meal together.
It does. It
takes time. You sit down, you know, you have to look at each other in the eye. If someone's on their phone, it's really out of place. You're like, hey bro, we're at the table. You put your phone down, you know? But no one's doing that. Everyone's like phones down, eyes up. We're looking at each other and you have to make time for that. And then in our day and age, man, everything's just clicking by so quickly. So it is good. And we actually had a moment right after Thanksgiving last year. We all went to Austin together and we were all in this house together. And part of it was to pray for Passion, to prepare. We had a little bit of some programming stuff to talk about, but all the worship leaders, all the speakers were there. And most of it was just to take time and just to carve out space, just to be together, to be in the same space, to eat together and laugh together. And it's so important to do that.
And if anybody thought that was a waste of time, then they just need to listen to the record Call on Heaven Live and they'll see.
We'll see.
That was a powerful point of connection.
Yeah, big time.
You're headed to New York City.
Yes.
You guys are going to perform live.
Yes, we are.
This is amazing. What
We're
do you think
about
this?
We're very excited. You know, I think it's exciting for us because like we were talking about earlier, we do feel that God is doing something on the earth right now.
Yeah.
That is beautiful. And, we, we sense that he's sending these songs out to the world. And it's just what a cool opportunity to go to New York and be a part of Fox and Friends. And we're going to sing a part of a song called The Lord Will Provide, which is just a beautiful truth out of Matthew, where Jesus says, if you seek first the kingdom of God, everything else will be added to you. Just seek first the kingdom. So we get to proclaim that. And then we're going to sing a song called He Who Is to Come, which is just, it's just such a hopeful, victorious song that anchors us in the truth that Jesus is king today, actively right now. He is king and in control, but also he is coming again. We have this promise that he is coming again to make all things new. So to go to Fox and to be able to sing these things and sing this truth is, it's what we're here for. It's why we're alive right now. It's what we're here to do. And, we don't take it lightly and we're excited about it.
Oh my gosh. And have it broadcast across the world. Powerful. Yeah. I know.
Cool.
I know people are going to really connect to it. It's going to stop people in their tracks, in their kitchen, in their living room, where they're at, because that's the kind of work that Jesus does.
That's right. I hope so. I pray so.
Amen. Christian, are you still a runner?
Yes. I do love to run. Yes, I do love to run. I had to dial back the running a little bit. I went a little too hard in the paint on the running. And I've added some other things into the workout schedule now. So I'm running a little bit less and doing some other things. But I love to run. I love to run because I love to wander. I love to just go out and explore. And I meet with God on runs. I find fun places to have coffee. I do love to run. Are you a runner?
I'm not a runner, but I remember dropping you off on a trolley trail to run.
Yes, that's right. Oh my goodness. That's right. I'm remembering this now.
That's been a long time ago.
That's been a long time ago. That's right. But you probably did, because that's one of my favorite things to do when we're traveling is find places to explore. So thank you. Thank you for that.
Yes. I was afraid to leave you, but I know you're a big boy.
This is your life, man.
You got a concert tonight, right?
You got a concert tonight and you got a wife and kids at home. I'm sure you're aware of that. So Godspeed. Yeah.
How is the family?
Oh, we are good. It's wild. We have our oldest, our son is 17. And then we have three girls, 14, 11, and 9. And we are in it. We are having a great time. There are challenges for sure. But we're navigating those challenges together and trusting God with it all. But it's hard some days, and there's tension and there's frustration. And but then there's also high joy too. We're having such a good time with them right now.
That's so good.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. We're doing good.
We're the opposite of you. Our daughter is our oldest, and she's in college in Boston.
Oh, wow.
So just had a great little car ride with her, and, and we had an opportunity to get God just gives you those opportunities to get things right and get things sorted out, misunderstandings and truths and all of it, you know? And I just said to her, I said, I just want you to know that, I'm learning to parent every day as we journey together. You were the first one to cause me to be a parent, and you're always going to be that one teaching me. And so I think it really gave her a different perspective on my position as a parent. And she will always lead me, you know, she will always be that firstborn. I didn't know how to parent before her. So
Me either. Yeah. Actually, you talked about Levi. Levi said one time we were talking about parenting, and he goes, that first one, man, he said, the first one through the wall gets the bloodiest. And I was like, man, you're not lying. And I relate to what you're saying, though. It's like sometimes with Isaac, I'm like, hey, bro, I've never had a 17-year-old before, so this is my first time to do this.
Yeah.
So that's good. Yeah. That's good.
I love that. I was just talking to Cece Winans, and she was saying how hard and blessed she was when her parents would come to her and say, you know what? I'm sorry. This was wrong. I did this wrong. And she was like, I didn't know how to see them as anything else but leaders in Christ at that point, because it was something counterintuitive to what parents usually do.
Yeah.
And really special kind of leadership to be able to be a humble leader, I guess.
Yeah, that's such a big deal, being able to apologize and, you know, take that humble posture. Going, hey, I'm still learning. I'm sorry I missed that. Yeah. I'm doing that often. I did that yesterday. So.
Amen. Me too. Well, I am so excited about this project. It's out and available now wherever you find music. And we're just going to continue to watch 2024 be impacted by this in escalating ways. I think that, you know, that generation that we're talking about, those younger people are going to be telling the parents and the grandparents to listen to this. And it is going to be a movement. And I so appreciate you guys taking time to come together, to eat together, to, you know, really do some of those first century Christian things that have lasted for eternity and will continue to. And I'm grateful that this is part of the heaven song coming to earth and vice versa. I'm blessed by that.
Yeah. Thanks,
well
Nick.
Done.
Thank
well
you
done,
so
team.
Much. It's great to chat with you.
You too.
Oh, cool.
Bye.
All right.
See
good
you.
See you.